Let's pray together. Father, thank you for putting things that are broken back together. Thank you for our salvation, but thank you that you didn't just save us and then set us off to go off by ourselves, but your blessed Holy Spirit indwells us, that we might experience your presence right now, moment by moment. Pray that as we spend a few moments in your word this morning, once again our minds will be set upon you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, we're into October now. As time moves on, and was a little bit cooler this morning, just a little bit, maybe, you know. I was outside about a little bit after 6, and it was a little bit cooler than it has been. I was at, where was it yesterday? No, a couple days ago. I was going through Walmart, and they got the Christmas decorations up, you know, the trees and all that stuff. And it's bad for my son-in-law. He buys them all wherever he sees them, it seems like. You know, he's a Christmas guy. But when you think about Christmas, we can get caught up in all the gifts if we're not careful. But we really celebrate, and we do pretty good about it, I think, here in our church, of really celebrating the birth of Christ. Starting, you know, when we have an Advent wreath here, and it reminds us of the coming of the Lord. And we do the chrismon tree that reminds us of all that Christ is and wants to bring into our lives. And so we celebrate that at Christmas. And then after that, Easter, right? And then we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. And we do pretty good on that. We celebrate that and we have great joy. But more often than those two times during the year, we celebrate the presence of Christ with us. With us now. In John chapter 13, you find a story there, and you find Jesus, and he comes, and the disciples are there. And he takes and he picks up a basin, puts water in this, throws a towel over his shoulder, takes his robe off, girds himself there with a towel, and he takes that water and goes over to each one of those disciples. He bends down and he washes their feet. Someone says, "Oh, no, no, not me. No, no, not me." "Oh, yeah, you." And he washes them. "Well, then wash me all over." "No, no, you know me. You just need your feet washed." And he takes that moment. And then let me pick it up, that story in John 13. Start at verse 12. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and he sat down and he asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I've given you an example to follow. Do as I've done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. And now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them." He's not setting up an institution that we have to wash feet every time. That's not what he's saying. So do you get what I'm saying here? You see the relationship of man to God and to the relationship that we are to have with our Father? And then he kind of sums it up for us if you drop down to verse 34 and verse 35. "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Now by this, everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another." So he says, "Guys, let me tell you something. Let me give you a new commandment. This is what you need to do. It's not, let me give you a good suggestion." He doesn't say that. give you a commandment. This is something that all of us as followers of Christ need to zero in on. He says, this is the commandment of what? Of love. I'll give you a new commandment of love. Now, they talked about the commandment of love in the Old Testament, but he turns it just a little bit. It makes the new commandment. And he says, when you do this, it's a way that you and I show his presence in our lives. Not gossips or backbiting or condemning. He said, that doesn't show who you are, but by love and grace and kindness, then the world will know that you follow me. See, that's how they know. That's who Jesus is. And I'm afraid sometimes we portray him a whole lot different than the scriptures do. He says, but if you love me, if you follow me, love me, and if you love one another, then the world's going to know that you follow me. So this morning, as we partake the Lord's Supper, part of what we're doing is proclaiming that that's true in our lives right now, that we're followers of Christ, and we want to love God, and we want to love each other, because that's how the world's going to know you're a follower of Jesus. It's not by putting a big bumper sticker on your car. That's not how they're going to know. It's by the way that you live. It's by the way that you love one another. It's by the way that you have eyes of compassion towards those that are lost. It's by reaching out to those with the love of Jesus Christ, by being difference makers. They're going to know. You see, this morning, we have an opportunity to celebrate the presence of the Lord Jesus with us now. Not just birth, resurrection, but now. His presence with us. We get to celebrate that. We get to share in that. I was thinking about what would be the symbol of the Christian faith. Well, I know it's not a statue. And I know it's not a tomb where everybody can come and worship a body in there. That wouldn't be a symbol. Maybe it's an empty cross. Maybe it's an empty tomb. Maybe it's the bread and wine. But I think the reality is there is no real symbol of the Christian faith. The reality is it's a presence, not really a symbol. It's the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Christian faith is about. It's not some symbol, but it's a person. The living Christ. It's not a dead person. It's one who is alive and vital. And he's in this place right now. Now, if you think about that for a minute, that God is here right now. That's pretty neat, isn't it? His presence. You ever wonder why we celebrate the Lord's Supper? I mean, we do it at least once a quarter and then sometimes, sprinkled throughout more. Do you ever wonder why? And I wrote down some reasons why we celebrate the Lord's Supper. One would be we simply obey Jesus' command and we keep it as a memorial. All right? That's not a bad thing, is it? Because he says, do this in remembrance of me. So we do it to remember Christ and what he's done for us. There's something to be said about simple obedience. Right? Not arguing, just simply obey. God says it, we do it. That's it. Or it's been a practice in this church for many years. Well, that's not a bad thing either, is it? Not all traditions are bad. People say, oh, that's old tradition. A lot of traditions are good too, aren't they? Some of the habits you have formed to follow Christ, some of the spiritual things that you've placed into your lives, the disciplines, help you. So that's not a bad reason. Another reason would be to review the facts of the redemptive history. It's good to remember where you're from. That's good to remember. It's good to remember that God has created you in his likeness, that you are created in the image of God. You're not junk. You're not an afterthought. You're created in his image with great value and great worth because of who God has made you to be. But then there was the fall of man, right? And we get kicked out of the garden, right? The Garden of Eden. Go back. And from then on, throughout the scriptures, we find the greatest story, right? The story of redemption. That's what the story's about. It's all about that from the Bible, from the fall to the restoration, is redemption. And you can see that in the Old Testament with the Passover, right? And they put the blood around the door, and it represents what we're going to talk about here in the Lord's Supper, about Jesus going to die for us. It's a picture of what's going to happen one day. And then we think back to the New Testament as it moves from the shadow of Passover to the true image of the cross. And then the resurrection. So it's good to remember our redemptive history. But this morning, I want us really just to zero in for just a moment in your thinking to acknowledge the presence of God in our life today. Right where you live. Guys, we need the presence of God in our life every day, don't we? Whether it's in the joys of life or it's in the tough times of life. Marcia shared with you all, her mom has been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and when they were doing some tests, they've also found spots on her lungs of cancer. Marcia's mom, many of you know Midge, she's 95 years old. She says, that's fine, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go to heaven. I see the finish line now. I don't want to do any kind of treatment. So Marcia, as you know, just plays bass. She just took off to go. It's about an hour and a half drive to get there. They're going to dismiss her out of one of the hospital facilities to where she lives, but they're meeting with all the doctors this morning, so she had to kind of scoot out of here. But isn't it good to know that the Lord is with her? Isn't it good to know that the Lord is with her mom? Because no matter how cheerful you want to be, when you have that diagnosis given to you, that's scary. You know, I don't know that it's the death so much, but it's the process of dying that we don't like. But God says, I'm here. His presence. And that makes all the difference. And I don't know what each of you are facing. I know there are challenges in everybody's life. But I'm here to tell you, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, he's with you. Not just at Christmas and Easter, but he's with you today. And so we just simply believe his word, the inerrant, infallible word of God. And he says, and I am with you even until the end of the age. I'm with you always. So we believe that, don't we? We put our faith and our trust in who he is. So this morning, as you've come to celebrate with us in the Lord's Supper, I'm just kind of give you three things, just tick them off here if you want to fill these in your blanks on in your little program there. First of all, number one, we should look back to the cross, okay? We should look back to the cross because when you do, what do? You see God's love in action. God says he loves the world, and now we see it by the Lord Jesus Christ dying for you and for me. It's his love put into action. So in Romans 5:8, while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's what the scripture says. It's through his shed blood on the cross that our sin was dealt with. That's why he could cry out, it is finished, you say. It's been dealt with. So when you hold that cup in just a couple moments, think back to the cross, that he did this for you. He spilled his blood. Secondly, we look to the future. Because that same Christ who was crucified, dead, buried, rose again, is coming back again. He's coming back again. And you know what? Eden restored. Right? We are kicked out, now the restoration, the new heavens and the new earth, and we are there for eternity, man, and we won't have death and dying and sorrow and sadness and all that junk. Whew. So in a sense, I do kind of envy Midge. You know? For the believer, we don't have to be afraid of death. Eden restored. I'm counting on him coming back before I ever get to that place of death. That wouldn't be bad, would it? You know, it wouldn't be bad right now. I don't know. Wouldn't that be cool if it was if you were in church when Jesus came back? You know? It could happen. Then number three, we should look to his presence in our lives today. Look to his presence in our lives today. So as we come to the Lord's table, his supper, communion with him, we affirm a couple things. First of all, that'd be A, I guess, as you're looking in your outline, that Christ is present in his church. You see, we're more than just a group of people. We're more than just a club and a bunch of folks I like to hang out with. We're much more than that. We're the body of Christ. Now think about that for a moment, because it's not just limited to our time frame. You're part of the church that started way back in Acts. You know who's part of the members of this church? John Calvin, right? Charles Wesley, right? Martin Luther, because we're part of the church. So we're part of that same group. Wow. That's who we are. That's the presence of the Lord, his church. So when you share in this time of communion with one another, with the Lord, understand you're part of the church that's bigger. It's much bigger than this little church. It's much bigger than any church. It's the church, right? The universal church. The church. His body. But I think even more important than that, in a real sense, is that second one. And it's really of a question. And that would be, is Christ present in your life? Is he present in your life? Or is it an afterthought? Paul writing, as we've been studying the book of Galatians in our Sunday morning Bible study, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Is that how you live your life? By trusting in the Son of God, Jesus, who loved me and gave. That's what he loved us. He gave his life for us. These elements symbolize what Christ has done. They don't become his physical flesh and blood, but they are symbolic of his flesh and blood that was broken for you and I. Is that reality in your life? Have you trusted him as your Savior? I hope that you have. If not, man, I don't know a better time than right this moment. Just say, Lord, I need you. Forgive me my sin and be my Savior. And if you've accepted the Lord as your Savior, and I know most of you in this room, I know most of you have, then, man, celebrate. Celebrate his presence with us today. So that when we face those tragedies, when we look to those things that happen in life, it's okay because the Lord is walking with us. And it doesn't matter if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death because Jesus is walking with me. It doesn't matter what, that's financial, it doesn't matter whatever I face because the Lord's there. And I worship him today as we come. Let's celebrate his presence right now. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving us so much that you died on the cross for us. You didn't just fake it. It wasn't just something that, oh, everybody, you took all of our sin upon yourself. And as bad as the torture of the cross itself was, and it was horrendous, that pales in comparison to you taking all of our sin upon yourself. You who were without sin was made sin for us. And Lord, I don't even know how that's possible, but I know it happened. And I thank you for it, Lord. Because without that, all of us would be lost. Not just now, but for eternity. I pray that everyone here would examine their own heart, Lord, and see where they stand with you. And if they're not sure of their salvation, they're not sure that they've really committed their life to you, then God, right now, I pray that you'd impress that upon them and they would choose that. They would make that decision. Others here, Lord, I know have made that decision, some recently, some years ago. But God, help us to celebrate that. That you walk with us, that you talk with us, God, day by day, moment by moment. Lord, thank you. We love you, Lord Jesus. We want to grow in our love more for you and more for others, because by that, the world's going to know that we follow you. In the blessed name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. In our church, we practice what we call open communion. And what I simply mean by that is, if you're a follower of Christ and you're here visiting with us today, we'd love to have you share in this time of fellowship with us and communion around the Lord. That's important for each of us to do that. Warren, if you'd lead us in prayer for the bread, please.
Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to be together, to focus and realize what you possibly, no way we could really know what you thought and how it, your burden that was put on you and Jesus for all our iniquities and our bad ways of life. But thanks for you and your love that you've given us as grace to be able to live with you in an eternity and forgive us of all of our sins. And we try so hard not to be so mean and sinful, but it's just about impossible to do. And without your help, we could not do it.
That's right.
So again, we thank you so much for you, the time that you spent on that cross for our very lives and our very soul. All this we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Notice there's a center little cup in the bread. That's for those with celiac or have a problem with that. So that's it.
Thank you.
Paul writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and he says, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. And the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it into pieces, and he said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Hollis, would you lead us in prayer for the cup, please?
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day that we may come and worship you. We thank you for the love that you have for us.
Yes.
A love so great that you sent your Son Jesus down to the earth. And he not only taught us how to live and love in the way that you wanted us to, but he also gave himself as a sacrificial lamb up on the cross to die for us.
Yes.
So that salvation may be a gift for you. Our Father, today, let us remember what Jesus did for us and the many blessings that you have given to us through your Son, Jesus. We thank you for this bread, wine that we're going to be consuming today, and let it remind us of what he has done for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with his blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." As we continue to think of what Christ has done for us, let's celebrate it as we stand and sing together. Would you stand, please? End of the service, I'll have a couple guys, one at each door there, and they'll have these blue bags, and that's for a benevolence offering. If you would like to give on the way out, that's fine. If not, that's fine. But we'll use this to help those in our community, some of our own church folks who need assistance and some ways that we can help out. So that's what they're there for, and that's what it's a special offering designated just for the benevolence and helping out those folks. Let me encourage you, if you haven't signed up for one of our small groups coming up now, starting not tonight, but the next Sunday nights, for six Sunday nights, let me encourage you to sign up today and you know, make that commitment. It's for 6 weeks, and then I wanted you to go a step further. Invite some neighbors and friends. You know, invite them. Say, hey, why don't you come along and try this out with me and see if we can encourage a few more to be part of that as well. It's been good to be here this morning. Because his presence is in this place, isn't it? And he walks with you as well. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you for your blessings. God, we're just overwhelmed by the type of love you have for us. But we're also challenged then that we might love one another so the world will know that we're followers of Jesus. Help us to love those that are very unlovable. Help us to have the eyes of compassion and kindness. Help us to reach out in grace with the gospel, the good news that Jesus provides. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.